Thank you. Good morning. That's my friend. Good morning. I have been gone in the States for 2 weeks, and when I tell you, I keep looking at everyone's face and be like, "How the heck are you? I haven't seen you in years." Missed you guys so much, but back and ready to party. Also, this morning I was very sleepy, and I drank 2 cups of coffee, which I never do. I'm still sleepy, but my hands are shaking, so don't worry about it. Just completely disregard. We're going to go on ahead. But good morning. It is so happy to be back with you guys. We are in a series called Rooted. And I'm just going to read the verse that this is kind of inspired by, based on. So this is from Colossians 2. 6-7. Someone has maybe read this to you before, but I was gone for 2 weeks, so you get to hear it again. All right, so this says, "So then, just as you received Christ, Jesus is Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." So this is the entire idea behind what it looks like to be rooted in Christ. To have ourselves, our stability, our faith, our hope rooted in the King of Kings, rooted in love itself. And for us to essentially be learning what it is to live in the kingdom of God instead of just the kingdom of human, which is a lot less fun. So today, we have a thrilling topic. You ready? No one's ready. You ready? Okay. We're going to be talking about simplicity and contentment. And I love that I was picked for this topic. Google says a simplistic person, ready, is someone who can find happiness in the lowest effects, who is content with what they have, and who finds a way to make space for what truly matters most, letting go of other things. Contentment is the state of being in which one is satisfied with their current life situation and state of affairs in one's life as they presently are. If one is content, they are at inner peace with their situation and how the elements in one's life are situated. You may, after me reading that, are reacting like me, which was to discover I am so complex and mysterious and not simple and content at all. But it just presented this question where I kind of felt the Lord be like, we're going into point number one. He was like, what can shake you? So this is going to be an interesting preach this morning, a bit heavy-hitting in the sense that it's really convicting. So I'm going to try to make it as fun as possible. You know me. But what can shake you this morning? If we're rooted in God and there's an area that we can be shaken in, we have to put into question, is this rooted in God or is it rooted in other things? So this is a very fun question to ask yourself and see what comes up. What can shake you? Now listen, we're human. We need to have grace for ourselves. We're in a process. We have our entire lives to learn what it is to become the likeness of Christ and to discover the things of the kingdom of God. But within our lives, it's really important that we continually look at ourselves and ask questions, even if they're uncomfortable or awkward. This happened. I responded XYZ. Is that a response of me being rooted in God? Or is that a very human, I'm freaking out response? It's really important as we navigate life situations to look at these things because this is where we grow and this is where we become the likeness of God. And God can't renew our minds and all of those things if we're not willing to even look at it. So we have to look at these things and ask questions. Now, I am not saying doom and gloom your entire life, okay? We don't need that. But it is important for us to reflect what is happening in our lives, what is God is doing in our lives, what we are showing God, what we're trying to hide from him, even though he already knows, et cetera, because these things, if we hold on to things or we hold on to pain or we try to keep ourselves together by ourselves, it will not work. And at one point or another, it's going to come out and it's going to affect ourselves and our relationships. So what can shake you this morning? Are you shaken? So let's have a peek at what it could look like to live in simplicity and contentment. So we're going to start in Philippians 4. Okay. Verse 11. So in this situation, we're looking at Paul, and he is in a rather nasty prison. He has been chucked into jail because he was spreading the gospel. And this is what he says: I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all of this through him who gives me strength. So Paul is rooted. He's saying that despite the circumstances, because Paul has experienced a very wealthy life, he's experienced a very poor life. And it's an incredible thing to say that in those two extreme differences, he has learned to be content. Meanwhile, is in prison because he spread the gospel. Interesting. So circumstances can vary wildly. So this is interesting too, because it's also not just negative circumstance. You know, if you're shaken when something's happened, that's one thing. But this can also be like really, really excited. You know how if someone like falls in love with someone, they're like, ah, and you're like, oh dear, this could go real bad. If something goes wrong, this could be really bad. So it's that kind of thing as well. It's like placing all of your hope and everything. Yeah. My whole life. I'm so excited. That is also not healthy, because if that thing goes away, falls apart, what are you going to do? You're going to fall apart too. So it's important that we are putting our roots in things of the kingdom and not our human experiences. Also, let's see what Jesus says about this. We're going to Matthew this time, Matthew 5. So this is known as the Beatitudes or the Sermon on the Mount. I also looked up the word Beatitudes because I was making sure I could pronounce it right. In an American pronunciation, it's Beatitudes. And in Northern Ireland pronunciation, it's Beatitudes. And I really like that. But Beatitudes means supreme blessedness. So this is what Jesus is saying. If we live this way, we live in supreme blessedness, okay? Verse 1, Matthew 5, 1. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Okay, so if you think beatitude, supreme blessedness, and you read this, it's a bit confusing, because not all of it looks supremely blessed. Mourn, poor in spirit. What? So I grew up, most of you know me, but I grew up in North Carolina, in the South, in America. And when I was growing up, there was a huge movement in the States in the church called the Word of Faith movement, which sounds very fabulous. But essentially, it was speaking everything in faith. So for example, if I was sick as a dog, fever, in bed, my mom would be like, "You are not sick in the name of Jesus. You are healed and whole in Jesus' name." And it sounds good, right? It sounds like, oh, wow, she's got faith. But meanwhile, I actually am sick. So this doesn't make any sense. I just remember being like, "Mom, please let me just be sick," you know? And this is the thing. This is what was happening. This is what we were learning. This is what we were taught. None of us knew any better, you know? So it's important, again, to ask ourselves a lot of questions to make sure that we're looking at things biblically, because that's technically not biblical. It's like, I'm actually sick here. And so it's clear from this verse, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is..." Jesus is encouraging us to not live in delusion, right? So if you're mourning, mourn. For you'll be comforted. Blessed are the poor in spirit. If you're poor in spirit, be poor in spirit. For yours will be the kingdom of heaven. We're not called to live in delusion in this human life. We're not called to try to deny our humanity. I mean, goodness gracious, God himself came as a human to save us. God was human, and he experienced everything as humanly possible as he could. He experienced our experience, but he was perfect. He was God. We weren't. He was the worthy sacrifice. But there is no part of the message of God that has ever said deny your humanity or pretend it's not real or pretend that things aren't difficult or pretend that there are highs and lows of life. It's saying, be honest about this. Just don't do it by yourself. Do it with God. Because yours will be the kingdom of heaven. You will be blessed. So yeah. If you have a situation you're renouncing and rebuking, stop. It's not going to work. Be honest with God about it. Be honest with yourself about it. Because it's only then when we accept our actual life that we can surrender our actual life to God. You cannot surrender what you cannot accept is happening. So it's important that we don't try to deny our reality because it's just prolonging our pain. So fun this morning. Okay, point two. This is another fun one. We're not in control. We can either accept that or fight it. One of my favorite people, you all know, beautiful Elaine, she says one of my favorite things, and it's so simple. She says all the time, bring it back to the basics. Bring it back to the basics. Bring it back. We can really get lost in detail. We can really get lost in circumstance. We can really, really, really overcomplicate things that stem from simple truths sometimes. We can really overcomplicate things. I excel at this, by the way. Most of our daily issues and disturbances often relate to control. Now, here's the thing. We don't have control. We probably never have, but we feel like we do. And it's funny because, you know, me and John can both be looking at the same situation and we're both dead convinced we are correct, but have completely different, yeah. That's what he thinks. Anyway, but the thing is we can both be so convinced I'm right. I know. I have this experience and my experience says, no, you're wrong, right? Everybody feels, whether they want to accept this or not, that the world is a better place if I'm in control. Yeah. Because you know what to expect, right? You know what's going to happen. You know how to handle it because you're so good at it, right? I know I'm in control. This is good. Now, partly, this is kind of a survival instinct, but we take it way farther, right? The definition of control is the power to influence or direct people's behavior or course of events. Right? We want other people to do what we want because it's less disturbing. Now, if you've lived any amount of life, you will like take an outsider's perspective and look at that and be like, wow, no, I don't have control. I want it, but I don't. There is, you know, the sun shining, the rain. We can't fix it. It's going to either have sunshine or rain for our picnic, right? You know, Rhonda's going to do that or she's not. I can't control that. I just can't. I might want to, right? But I can't. What's fascinating is that control often doesn't feel like it has to do with us wanting other people to do what we want. Control can also just feel really innocent, you know? I'm right because I have the experience. You might. But if this person doesn't do what you want, does it shake you? Ooh, that's control. I'm trying to help you. Right? And you might be. Right? You might be. But if they don't do what they should do because you're right, does it shake you? Trust me, it's better this way. We do this. I do this all the time. I think I'm very smart. I'm just kidding. But, you know, you go through this and you're like, oh, it seems innocent. It seems like, oh, I'm trying to help. It can be very subtle like that. It can also be very obnoxious and loud. And we've all probably seen examples of that. But it can also be the sneaking subtlety. But the thing is, we don't have control. And your opinion might be right, or it could be wrong. But if you are shaken, if you are disturbed, if you are filled with anxiety when things are not going the way you want, you thought, you planned, you're prepared for, we need to look at that. Because that's probably not rooted in the kingdom of God. It's probably rooted in your own ability and your own capacity. And that's going to collapse. At some point in life, it will collapse. Living in simplicity and in contentment looks like taking our attention from temporary things and setting them on the kingdom of God. There are a lot of things in our life that look like, I mean, gosh, there's just things that can grab our attention really easily, shake our stability, that are temporary, very human. It's very easy to get lost in the shuffle, and there can be circumstances that are so difficult. Losses, deaths, sickness, etc. There can be things that are so exciting. New job, I've worked my whole career for this, yay. New spouse, things like that, that's great. And those are good things. But if we're rooting ourselves in that new spouse, if we are rooting our security in that new job with a pay raise, we have to look at those things because the job can, you can get fired, right? If we're rooting our relationships in things other than the Lord, we're gonna have some struggles. Tim Keller says, when pain and suffering come upon us, we finally see that not only were we not in control of our lives, but we never were. In John 16:33, it says, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. We've got to root ourselves in the one who's overcome the world, right? Not this world of troubles. Jesus basically came out and said it. He was like, you're going to have trouble in this world. It's going to suck sometimes, right? But I have overcome the world. And I have made a way for you. So will you have trouble? Yeah. But take heart. Because I've overcome it. So in life, we will probably not live in a perfect state of simplicity and contentment. We missed that ship ages ago, right? That's why Jesus came to save us. But we're a complicated sort. We're human. There are layers upon layers of this. And God in his kindness isn't asking you to undo all of this in one interaction. God is so faithful. And through our lives, he brings different things up in stages. He brings different things up in layers and allows us to experience these things and dig these things up in his timing, which is often so much better than we think. And to be able to bring these things before him and deal with them appropriately. And so if we're not going to be perfect, but we are called to be obedient to the Lord. And part of that is having our lives transformed. And so that looks like, you know, getting open and honest with the Lord and being willing to change and being willing to let him touch your life and renew things. So if you have an issue in your life that you've been struggling for 4 or 5 years, we have a problem. It's time to deal with that thing because it's not going to go away. It's time to look at our life and get rid of the things that can shake us so that we can become more of the kingdom. Growing is a really good thing. Growing is a really, really good thing. Stagnation is so boring. So boring. It's not fun. It feels safe sometimes, but everything in your life will stop at a certain point. We're trying to keep ourselves together by ourselves, and it doesn't work. God is God. He is in control. Period. Regardless of how you feel about it, struggle with it, despise it, maybe find it a relief, so on. God is in control and he overcame the world and we have access to him. So if there's something that can shake us, let's let it shake us and bring it to the feet of Jesus. Let's shake at the feet of Jesus, okay? Walking in simplicity and contentment is just realizing God's in control. The world is in his hands. And regardless of what happens can be horrific. What happens can be fabulous. At the end of the day, he's in control. So we can either labor over that. Why? Why? I want to know. Good luck, by the way, if that's you. Do it now. Where are you? We can either labor and suffer over not being in control, or we can put ourselves at the feet of the one that who is and root ourselves in his victory. Last point, simplicity and contentment are found in the kingdom of God. Contentment and simplicity are not delusion. They're not avoidance. They're not isolation. It's not ignorance. It's not denial. We will not find contentment in pretending like the things around us that are happening aren't happening. If I'm sick, it doesn't matter what scripture that you read over me or how much you say you're not sick in Jesus' name. I'm like, can you bring me a popsicle or something? Like, I don't feel well, right? It's not in denying these things. It's letting God into those things. It's interesting because this is probably in my family. We've learned a lot since then. But in my family, this was the opposite of what we thought. It was like, no. You can't feel defeated. You're a Christian. You can't feel angry. You're a Christian. Gotta keep it all in. That's Christian, right? It's impossible. We've got to get honest because Jesus himself, blessed, supreme blessedness. I really like that. Supreme blessedness is being honest with ourselves and with God and letting him into those places. C.S. Lewis says, heaven is reality itself. All that is fully real is heavenly, for all that can be shaken will be shaken. It will be shaken, and only the unshakable remains. The circumstances of our lives are not dependable. They change all the time. They shift all the time. They shake us all the time. But the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God never changes and has overcome the world. The band can come back up, and I'm going to close with this, then we can pray together. But this is an excerpt. This is from Hillsong Church, and it's a collation, essentially, of different verses describing what the kingdom of God is, and this is kind of like a synopsis or a summary, if you will. So I also encourage you, go and do some study on what the kingdom of God is like, because that's where we're called to live. So go and do some study on that, and then come and talk to me about it. I dare you. Let's do it. So this is from Hillsong's website. It says, the kingdom of God is not a physical kingdom. It is a transformation of heart and of mind, a way of believing and living in preparation for eternity. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, then your citizenship is no longer of this world. You are a citizen of heaven. The kingdom of God refers to God's reign on earth, and consequently, in our hearts. It is about his kingship and our obedience to his rule. In his kingdom, the first shall be last. The broken are blessed. We look out for our neighbor and we rejoice when the lost are found. His kingdom comes as each of us bows the knee and confesses that he is king. And then we live our lives as loyal citizens. That's the kingdom of God. That's where we're called to live. Essentially, the way to the kingdom of God is obedience. The way to living in his presence is to bow the knee. Sorry. Bow the knee, confess that he is king. So it's not an easy thing that God has called us to do, necessarily. But he's overcome the world. We don't have to do this by ourselves, and I think that's a beautiful thing. God has blessed us with himself, with the church around us, with relationships. We get to go through these things together. We get to be the iron that sharpens iron. You have relationships that, you know, really speak into your life, or I'm so thankful for people in my life that'll be like, hey, girl, that, let's look at that, you know? We have those things. And in Journey, it's a very good place to have relationships like that that won't just let you live in whatever, you know, heartache and disillusionment that you're in. We're called to go farther. We're called to be transformed. And being obedient is letting God into those places and doing that work. So this morning, there is, his presence is heavy this morning. Does anybody else feel it? Is it just me? Just me. His presence is heavy this morning. It's almost like, you know, has anybody ever had a weighted blanket where it's like, that's kind of what it feels like this morning. His presence is here this morning and it's available to us. And this morning, I'd really love if everybody could just be intentional for a second and let's pray together. But there are going to be areas where we are not rooted in Christ. And if you're thinking of one, right? If you're thinking of one, whether you feel ready or not, let's worship this morning, okay? Let's make the decision to come before God despite I don't feel ready, I don't wanna, I don't get it, I don't understand. There's a huge grace for that this morning. There's a deep, weighty presence of the Lord this morning. So God, I thank you for your presence in this place this morning. God, I thank you for your conviction. I thank you, Jesus, that you are close to the brokenhearted. There are some of us today that are brokenhearted, and God, I ask that you bless them in Jesus' name and that you comfort those that are mourning, God. If there are those who are poor in spirit this morning, Jesus, I ask that you would be close to them. That your kingdom would be theirs in Jesus' name. So Lord, this morning we'd make the intentional choice, ready or not, to put ourselves before your feet this morning, to put ourselves in worship before you, because you are the King and we bow the knee in Jesus' name. So God, if we need humility to do that, I ask that you would give us humility. If we need strength to do that, I ask that you would be the strength this morning. I thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing. And I thank you for the fruit that will grow from putting ourselves at your feet and becoming the likeness of you. Thank you in Jesus' name.